You might like to turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And we have been looking for a greater understanding of God's wonderful person. And he reveals himself by his name. Everything he does is for his great namesake. So the more we understand who he is, the greater we will appreciate what he does. And thus he gives us his name. And he progressively gives his name from in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He progressively gives his name and helps the people as they're proceeding down the corridor of time. He helps them understand by helping them know about him, about himself. And he gives his name for that. And we share together Jehovah Yireh. And in Exodus, in Genesis, etc. Now, here in Exodus chapter 15, as we were looking, Israel, remember, is delivered from Egypt. They have crossed the Red Sea. They have commenced their journey. And in the process, they, as we shared, they have 3 days without water. Water is essential, obviously, to all of those 2 million plus people and animals, and therefore looking for water. And so when water is visually seen, then their excitement rises, and they are expecting to satisfy their thirst, to fill their canteens, etc. So in the process of doing that and thinking that, then they find that God, in his wonderful kindness, the first thing after crossing the Red Sea is to realize you need God for this journey. You needed God to get out of Egypt. You needed God to cross the Red Sea. You need God for where you are, for where you're going in the wilderness. And so God helps them. Now remember, they are, as we shared last time they are not a people that are well in tune with God. They aren't. They are looking in their heart as a people generally to go back to Egypt. They wished that Moses hadn't taken them out of Egypt. So they want to be back in Egypt, basically. And they can't go back to Egypt. They can't get back across the Red Sea, etc., etc. And thus they murmur and mumble. And thus the water, God is going to help their attitude. An attitude is very important. And your attitude, how you think, very important. We are indebted to God. We are indebted to him. He is our benefactor, and we are his beneficiaries. And so we owe him. We owe him. And when you always treat someone that has giving is giving you present tense so much, you always should be a very appreciative of all the people that come and go. But when the person is there that is helping you and providing for you and caring for you, you give them the extra oomph because they're who they are, and you honor them. And thus, God ought to be honored, and he has to be honored in order to enjoy him. So now here in Exodus chapter 15, remember God's cure for bitterness. They had it. Bitterness is very easy to come by for many, many reasons. And bitterness can do a devastating amount of damage to us. So in Exodus chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 24, And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, Moses. And the Lord pointed out to him. He went and pointed it out, is the word, to cause, to make. He made Moses pay attention, and God said, pointed as it were his finger, and the tree. There's a piece of wood. Take that piece of wood right there. And Moses followed the finger where God was going, and he took the tree, and he went, verse 25, and obeyed God. And he showed him a tree, and when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now he's putting them to the test. Are you going to understand the lesson? Moses obeyed me. I pointed out what to do, and Moses did it. And that which was unworkable for you, unacceptable to you, the bitterness, the water, became sweet. And remember, we shared last time in Isaiah 5:20 to remind us that bitter, what does Israel do? What do humans do? They turn everything upside down so they can handle life. Otherwise, we call bad good and good bad, so that we get bitter, sweet, and sweet, bitter. And thus, Egypt, which is bitter bondage, it becomes sweet. And the bitterness in the wilderness of what they have with the water, the bitterness stays bitter and never becomes sweet. But the real bitterness, the bitterness is made sweet, and the sweetness that God is going to do in Exodus 15 and 25, that is going to be called bitter. And so the journey, everything God is going to do, you've got it upside down. You're going to miss out. So God, you understand what they're going to do. And God said, I do. I'm going to give them help, though. It won't be that I didn't help them. I told them how to journey down the road. They're going to go through the wilderness, dry sand, nothing. No food, comparatively for people like that. No water. And you're going to trust me. That's how you're going to go. Now, and thus he gave them, the end of verse 25, and an ordinance and a thing, test to prove them. Now, so now, what is the, and verse 26 explained, verse 25 is explained by verse 26. So you're going to go from 25, what do you mean, ordinance? And then you go to verse 26. And he said, if thou wilt, and he said, saying, if thou wilt diligently hearken, and diligently hearken. Now, it's the verb used twice, diligently hearken. When you use the same verb like that, it's an absolute means, with great certainty, with great surety, with great intensity. It intensifies the verb, action. With God, if thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And so it emphasizes, it brings it to bear, it makes for certainty, continuance, to busy oneself eagerly, obeying, following. You put your whole heart into it. If you willingly put your whole heart into this, the voice of the Lord thy God. God said, here's a tree, if you obey my voice, that which is bitter will become sweet. That which is difficult will become, you'll be able to handle it. That which is intolerable will be tolerable. That which doesn't work will. You just have to obey me. Because I intend you to go down the corridor of time, and I want you to go down successfully. I don't intend you to get hung up, harmed. I don't want you to get harmed. I don't want you to be hindered where you don't go. I'm not going to put anything in front of you that you can't handle. And so you're going to trust me, and you're going to go. And you'll be able to journey very nicely down the corridor of time. In verse 26, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and, secondly, wilt do that which is right in his sight. If you will do that which is right. And the word do, to fabricate, to manufacture. If you're going to go and labor and produce, I want you to do that, to produce that which is right, hang on to that, in his sight. And thirdly, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and to give ear, to give an ear witness, to be an ear witness, to observe, to pay attention intently. And fourthly, and to give ear to his commandment, and to keep, to guard, to be nimble, to be active, to be quick is the verb, to keep his statutes. And if you do all this, 1, 2, 3, 4, observe and will do and will keep, give ear and keep, I want you to be on your toes. And thus, you're able to go forward. You're able to overcome. You're going to be able to, whatever difficulty that you'll ever find, you will be quite successful in overcoming it. You'll remember the Lord speaking to all churches, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Revelation 2 and 3, all the churches, to everyone, when he's all done, whatever the conditions, historically and at that time in their life, God said, to him that over what? To him that overcometh. Hear what the Spirit of God says, and you'll overcome. To every one of them. I expect you, no matter what it is, to overcome. So, God, what are you trying to tell Israel? The day one, I want you to overcome. I want you to succeed. And thus, in the light of that, going down forward, so they go down the corridor of time to keep, I don't want you to lose your relationship to who I am. I want you to be able to trust me and honor me all the way down the road. And therefore, obedience, when I point out the tree, when I tell you what to do, do it. Do it. And you'll find it works. And you'll reap all the benefits and the blessings that go with it. Now, if you don't do that, then you're going to lose. Now, over, please, to Deuteronomy 28 again. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you're familiar with, or at least remind you, in Deuteronomy 28, remember verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And as you go down the corridor of time, paying attention to what I said, you don't have to look for blessing. Remember, we said that. You don't have to look for blessing. It'll hunt you down like a lion. It'll chase you. What will chase you? My blessing. All blessing in all heaven and earth. You are blessed with all blessing in heavenly places, in spite of earth, over earth, above earth. And God said, you do what I tell you, and my blessing will follow you. In fact, I'll chase you with my blessing. That's pretty good. I'll chase you with it. But I want you to, where's your blessing? God said, do what I told you to do, and I'll chase you, my blessing. You want to talk to me about the blessing? You can. Go ahead and talk. Now, what's going to happen? Nothing. Why don't you just pay attention to what I told you, and the blessing will follow you. Now, but if you don't, 28, verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes, etc., if you don't, if you do the opposite, now, over if you would, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 58, 28 and 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, extraordinary, amazing, and the plagues of thy seed that follow thee. even great plagues, and long continuance. They aren't going to last a week. It's going to be a problem for centuries. Long. You don't fix it. Long. I'm not going to do it for 2 weeks or 10 months. Years. Could be. Thus, in verse 59, and long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And verse 61, and every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Verse 62, and ye shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of the heaven for multitude. Because, why not? What's going to happen to your faithful remnant? You're going to shrink. Because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. You don't obey, and you're all going to lose. I told you how easy it was when I point something out to you or tell you, pay attention. That's all. Pay attention. Don't give me a debate about it. Just do it. Now, history goes on. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah and chapter 6. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, picking up if I can, in verse 20. Exodus. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 20. To that purpose, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet came from a far country? You have all the different things for sacrifice. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Your heart's wrong. I don't need your sacrifices. I need your heart. But I need to do. You don't need to do anything for me. I just want your heart. That's all. So all the offerings, all that you're doing, you're wasting your time. You can have 15,000 sacrifices. You can do all kinds of things. Religious, count your beads and do all kinds of things. That isn't what I want. So when you come to chapter 7, and in verse 21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put the word add, to add, the word is add, add your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. Some animals you burn the whole thing, and other animals you burn part of them and eat part of them. God said, don't bother making a distinction. Eat them all. It won't make any difference. Eat the whole thing. Eat all that you do. It won't make any difference. Eat them. I told you I'm not going to accept them. They don't mean a thing to me. Do them. Now, verse 22. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings of sacrifice. And you remember, as you just read, that it wouldn't, when you just read in Exodus, here they are coming out, and there's not a word about sacrifice or burnt offering. All they're doing is following the lead of the Lord, and they go, and God's going to meet their need if they pay attention. He didn't ask them to do anything. Just pay attention and follow them. Now, so, in verse 23, but the thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all my way, in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you, may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. They went backwards and not forwards. Backwards and not forwards. Verse 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth of the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 15. From the day you came out. You murmured and mumbled. What are you doing now? The Babylonian captivity, you're murmuring and mumbling. When are you going to stop murmuring and mumbling? When are you going to stop? See, God's very long before being angry. Verse 23. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet, verse 26, yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. They didn't get any better. They got worse. Verse 27. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. They will not hear you. But you're going to say them anyway. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. So you're going to give everything. Are they going to pay attention? No, but you do it anyway. Verse 28. And thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth, N-O-T, not the voice of the Lord their God. Exodus 15, 26, that's how you're going to benefit, is pay attention to what I say and you'll benefit. That's all. Don't give me a big deal about it. Just honor me because I said it. And thus, verse 28 again, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord thy God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. No truth at all. Chapter 8. And going, if you can, over to verse 22. Remember, they aren't doing very good. Is there no balm in Gilead? That's across the Jordan. Here's the Dead Sea down here. Here's the Jordan River, and you cross the Jordan River, and there's Gilead, right over here, with Ephraim, etc. Gilead. And over there, they were noted. They had a special tree, and the risen from the tree was able to do, they could do a number of things in curing or making people feel comfortable in helping them physically. And thus, the question, all you could do is cross the river, you're in trouble. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there no healing there? Isn't anyone there that heals, that can help you, that can heal? A physician, thus the verb, a physician. Is there no physician there? Why then, is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why don't you have any health? There's a reason you don't have any health. That's right. Because if you went to all the doctors in the world, if your heart's wrong with me, it won't make any difference who you go to. You can go to 1,000 doctors and spend $1 million. Keep your heart right, and I'll take care of it. You're trying to replace me with a doctor. No one replaces me with a doctor. God may use doctors wonderfully. God uses medicine wonderfully. But you don't replace God in your heart with a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief. You don't do that. No, sir, God. Nope. And you've had doctors, and I've had them, and they're very good. They're very sad. And I've had them say to me more than once, different doctors, I'm not God. I can only do so much. That's right. I said, that's correct. You do what you can do, and God will do what he does, you see. So now, in Jeremiah chapter 11, if I can, in chapter 11, verse 3, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, verse 4, which I command your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. Wonderfully so. Verse 6, then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying what? Hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested, and that's the word to bear witness, to bear testimony. I personally exhorted you, bear testimony to you, prophets, morning and evening, coming to you. I earnestly protested, unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting as you were again, saying, obey my voice. And I told Moses and all of them, they say, obey, pay attention, and it works. That's all you had to do. But if you don't do that, of course, it isn't going to work. And thus, if you would, over in the, well, we won't do that because that would be too long. Over in go to Romans, if you would, just for a moment. Romans and chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Remember, we read, and to keep the law and keep your heart right, upright, by doing the things that are right and what God tells us to do. And how are we going to keep that right relationship to you, God? How are we going to keep that? Well, in verse 5, Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The law is all finished if you're a believer. 4, Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. The law, if you do the law, do everything I tell you, then it'll be right. That the man which doeth those things shall live by them. So if you want to keep the law, then you got to do them. And you have to do them. But, you can't do that. You need to trust me. That's why, when they went out, they didn't have the law until Sinai. And they didn't have the law until he said, all that we say, we'll, all that you tell us God wants, we will do. And it's that that produced the Ten Commandments, among other things. That's what they said. You tell us, God, what you want. God said, I'll tell you how I act. Thou shalt, thou shalt not. Now, you want to be right and want to walk with me? This is what you do. Now, so now, in Romans chapter 10, verse 6, in contrast, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? Or that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep and bring Christ up again? But what saith the word? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, and that is the word of faith which we preach. And so I want you to pay attention, said God, to say it quickly. When I tell you something, don't give me an argument. Listen to me and do it. You want the blessing and the benefit? Pay attention. That's all. Don't fight me. That's all. It's by faith. And you do it. Now you don't want to do it? Nah. I'm going to give a discussion. I'm going to think about it. Well, that's too bad. Because you won't go anywhere. Now, picking up, please, back over, if you would, in Exodus. Exodus in chapter 15. So that rightness we need is by faith, and we have to honor God's word and his wonderful person. And thus, and so we're learning God, you know what you're going to do, and you're going to, and God tested them, remember, verse 25, the end, and there he proved them at the waters of Meribah. He proved them. What are you going to do when things are tough? You're going to murmur and mumble, or you're going to learn to trust me? And he gave them a grand illustration to know that God was wonderfully God, and God would help them. So they're learning. What are they to learn? Have a wonderful confidence in God. And God isn't limited to resources. God isn't limited to our circumstances. God isn't limited to our situation. God isn't limited to our condition. God isn't limited at all. Is he? Now, there's no problem with any of it. We tend to limit God and tell God. We don't tell him it. We tell him what our problems are, and we feel them, and as if God didn't understand them. Well, God does understand them. So God, in the light of that, I've got to allow you to be who you are so that I don't bring my conditions and circumstances and everything else and bring it to you and make it so I'm looking at them instead of looking at you. And I'm looking at my world, my environment, I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to talk to you, God. But my whole vision is caught up like over my eyes. It's caught up and blinding me. And I'm talking to you, God. I'm praying. But no, I'm not. I needed to put them down because, God, they aren't the issue. The issue is my relationship to you. So I put them down at the foot of the cross and look up, God. And that's what God wants. God, I'm looking to you. I don't want to get governed by them because you aren't limited by them at all. Now, so having said that, then God is going to go and take our life and everything, and we're to be wonderfully dependent and wonderfully decidedly dependent, decidedly dependent, delighted to be dependent, fully delighted to be dependent, looking to God. Now, in the light of that, Exodus 15, picking up, please, in verse 26. I'll read it in the middle so you pick it up. Do that which is right. There's your word right, by faith. Right, not by law. You'll never make it. Right in the sight, on his sight, by believing God and trusting him. And right in thy sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and his keep his statutes, all his statutes. And I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now we looked at that. And God said, if you don't do that, I'm going to let everything that happened to them happen to you. In fact, I'm going to let it increase more than that. If you think Egypt had a problem, you are going to have a problem. And I'm going to do that, what I would have done to them, I'm going to let happen to you. And I'm going to let it go further than that for a long, long time. Now, you can take your pick. And thus, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let that happen. Huh. And remember now, without getting into that whole thing, that Israel had no doctors. They had no pharmacy. They had no medicine. They had nothing. And for 40 years, God kept them. No doctor, no medicine. God kept them. The great physician. God, can you do it? Absolutely. Moses, it's impossible to be up in that mountain so many times for 40 days and nights. No, it isn't. No, it isn't at all. God, am I going to allow you to be who you are to me so that I'm not going to squash you into a little box and talk to you in the box and then close the box up and go out the door and do my work, home, school, play? I don't want to do that. Thus, in verse 26, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Why not? Why not? For, because, the reason, because I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And this is one of the places where it isn't transliterated, the Hebrew, the Lord healeth thee, Ropheka, the Lord healeth thee, Ropheka. But you didn't translate it that way. You could see it. You'd see it other places where it's spelled out, but not here. And thus, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the one, the healing one, participle. I am the healer. I am the healer. I am the one who heals you. I am the healer. I'm not a healer. I am the healer. And the word heal means to bind up a wound, to put on a bandage, to bind, to restore, to sew, to mend, to bring together, to bring, tie it together. The Lord died on the cross and he brings together, he heals and brings it together. What's he make possible? God and himself, and he brings us together and sews it together and makes it work. He heals now and repairs and restores. So I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the one that does that. So now, keeping that in mind, if you would, and the Lord that heals, so obedience opens the door for God to be God. And God said, listen, I am going to make it so that you are going to be very successful. You may have all kinds of things that I may test you with, but you'll always succeed in the test, no matter what the test is. If you are trusting me, you will reap the benefit of the test. And that which seemed bitter will be very sweet. But you're going to have to go through it. Oh, but you do. You do. You can't have. You can't be the man, woman, boy, or girl that I intend you to be without going through the exercise, because you have no heart. Israel, you have no heart yet. You murmur and mumble. I'm going to have to put you through great tribulation. Now, ultimately, the tribulation coming up. Why? Because that's the only way you pay attention. And if you pay attention to the tribulation and go through it, it'll be very sweet. But in the process, it's very bitter. You know, it is. It is very difficult. So here's the Egyptians disobeyed, and they had a lot of problems. You want to be obedient and to look to me. I am the healer, Jehovah Rophecha, and I am the healer, and I'm going to heal, and I'm able to go to the lowest degree. I'm able to take the people that are suffering much, and all their money, and all their benefits, and all their doctors don't do them any good. Oh, they give a little better comfort and something, but they aren't healed. They all die. They all die. No matter who they are, no matter how rich they are, no matter how many doctors they have, they all die. That's what they do now. And so they all die. And here's the beggar who has nothing, and you have to take the doctor, whoever he is, she is, you have to take the doctor and do the best you can and trust God, and somehow they keep going. They keep going too, and they, without any money, they just keep going. And they may not have some things, but they keep going. And in the process of healing, what do you mean healing? Well, did you ever think of your mind? Mind, remember He's given us not the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what? A sound mind. God gave you that. It's a gift. You never know it. It's a gift. He gave it to us. So you don't have to work at it. It's a gift. So I got to do it. I got to look to God and allow the outworking of that relationship to take place. And in the process of that, it's a wonderful to be able to have a healthy mind of some kind in some way. And we want to have that. I don't want to lose my mind. I don't mind losing my health, but I don't want to lose my mind. Do you? Of all the things you could lose, your health. What good's having a wonderful body and no head? And you can't think. What's good is that going to do you? Isn't it better to have a good head and a terrible body? And you realize you have a terrible body, but a great God, you see. A great God, see. And I just was with someone the other day that's got another week to live or so, maybe. And in the process of that, we just said, but now you're going to die, and God's going to take you, and et cetera. And just nothing to it. You just have to adjust, and you're going to die. It has to be. Anyway, we did all that kind of stuff. And we had a wonderful time, a good positive time, because you're going to die. Nothing wrong with dying. Nothing wrong with it. It's in God's time. And it has to be in God's time. And so now, so I want to have, and the person was able to relate and be cognizant of what we were doing, and et cetera, and did. Very good response in the whole thing. Very positive. Very good thing. Now, I don't want to lose my mind. I don't mind losing my health, but I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want to do that. And neither do you. Neither. God, I want to have a sound mind. And I'm not going to have it if I get tied up, as we said, in worry and want and wandering and all that stuff. I don't want to do that. So now, God, I want to have spiritual health. How can I enjoy spiritual life? Eternal life. Endless life. It can never die. Can never die. No, you can't die. You can't die. You just can't die. You have a relationship to me, and nothing can disrupt that. Nothing can take that away. So, God, I have a wonderful relationship. How am I going to enjoy that? Well, I'm going to have to listen to you, God. And that's health. You're the healer. You're the one who's the healer to keep me healthy, to keep us. You are very healthy. The Lord Jesus Christ in you is how healthy? I don't know. How healthy is God inside of you? You say, well, I want to know how God is inside you. God isn't sick. God doesn't have a problem with disease. And that's your relationship. That gives you eternal life, a wonderful relationship to God in the person of Jesus Christ. So now, having said that, And remember thee, and you're in the, and the, you know, doctors, you know, take your medicine every morning at 6 o'clock. And another prescription says, take your medicine every night at 7 o'clock. And take it 3 times a day. God, what is your prescription? I want you to exercise breathing and take your medicine 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want you to take your medicine. What is your medicine? I am your medicine. I am your healer. I am your health. I don't want you to say, I took my quiet time in the morning and I'm done. No, you aren't done. You haven't even started. You just started the day. And you're going to go, and you're going to go. And you're breathing, you're exercising. And God is the wonderful, wonderful, sufficient, efficient, sufficient, and efficient cause. Now, of all of you that he's doing, and he is. And by the way, in the grace of God, God gives us grace and mercy. And how much oomph does God put into grace? He puts his omnipotence into grace. It is the Almighty God in his omnipotence that sends his grace to you. Omnipotence. See? He's the one that put all the stars, if we took time. He's the one that put all the stars up there. He said, and if you read the context of that psalm, put all the stars up there. Now, would you pay attention to me down here? Horses don't help you. Running chariots and trying to fight, you are not going to keep your life by trying to do it yourself. You have to trust me and allow that life to outwork itself in a most wonderful way. Thus, you have the power of gravity. Do you have that? We have that. Do you? By the way, is anyone, apart from an astronaut in a testing thing, is anyone here able to get away from gravity? Gravity. I want you to work real hard this week and overcome gravity, okay? You can try jumping off a building to prove it, but then in the hospital I'll see you and say, how did it work? It didn't work, did it? You can't overcome gravity. You live in gravity, don't you? And that's how you experience work, homeschool. And gravity is right, holding us. God, what about the sun? The sun, the ray that makes it grow, makes everything alive. Light, L-I-G-H-T, like John, the Gospel of John. Light, that's right. Well, God, where isn't there light? If we didn't have any light, we'd be in trouble. Our world would be in trouble. That's right. And God said, you're just there. You're living in a world where the sun bathes the earth. Earth with its light, powerful, life-giving light and rays and wow, electrical magnetic fields. Wow, there they are, the photons and everything else. Wow. And God said, listen, you just live in it. I want you to live before me like that. I don't want you to say, I'm going to do it at 2 o'clock. No, you live before me like that. As we were talking about prayer the other night, prayer is a relationship. You exercise your relationship to God. And don't, if you have to just say it here, you're in trouble. You should be able to trust God with all your heart. And you are either doing it or you're not doing it. And here isn't going to make a bit of difference. You either can talk to God and trust God personally. And you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be super duper. But you need to trust God personally. If you don't trust God, you've got a problem. You either do it or you don't. Say, well, I can't speak. Well, neither can I. But so what? Now, having said that in our time, wow. Would you go with me, please, over? Oh. Psalm 147. All kinds of ways to do it, but Psalm 147. Picking up, please. Remember now, God said, listen, you want to have health, mental health, spiritual health, physical health, and I'll take care of all of that in my own good order. I didn't come to give you a perfect body now. I have a perfect body for you, but not yet. You still live in this body, and it's got sick and sorrow, and you're going to suffer, and it has all the subject to disease and pain and heartache and headache. So you might as well roll up your sleeves. That's what you've got. And in my grace, I'll get you through whatever it is that I choose to allow in your life. I want you to function fully all the days that I need you, that I want you to. If I want you to run 100 yards, then I'm going to see that your legs can do it. If I don't, then I don't need your legs, and you don't either. You don't either. If I want them, I'll make them work. Now, so thus, in Psalm 147, keeping in mind God's wonderful power, gravity, light, all the stuff, and his wonderful presence, we're to exercise his wonderful, great healing, health-giving presence. And the sun is wonderfully healthy and breathing and gives us health. Now, Psalm 147, please, pick up. Verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He healeth the broken in heart. That's right. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our God, great is our Lord, and of great power, and his understanding is infinite. Hey, we just saw those galaxies, you know, and all that stuff. Wow. God said, listen, you ought to pay attention. Don't you think I can do it? What do you think I tell you something for? I write it in print. I put it in print right in front of you so you can read it, so you understand it. And thus, in verse 10, he delighteth not in the strength of a horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. And you can keep reading a wonderful, wonderful thing that God does. And God heals them. He gave his word to heal them, to give them health, to give them a restoration of heart and mind, of refreshment of their being, to give them all of those wonderful, wonderful things. Now, having said that, that God does all that, and God does do that, and the doctor says, and we listen to the doctor. We do listen to the doctor. I do. I know you do. Try to, you know, and try to do it. Sometimes we don't do that well, but we try to do it. And thus, we take God, the great doctor, great physician, we take God at his word. And we're going to give God, he's the word of truth, to give us the truth of God. Now, God, what do we know? Well, God said, listen, I want you to know, in the Garden of Eden, there was a wonderful thing that I kept them from after they sinned. Do you remember it was? The tree of life. I made them get out of the garden and blocked it so they could never eat of the tree of life, because they would have then lived in a lost condition forever. I couldn't have saved them. I wouldn't have saved them. And in the millennium, when there and people are going to live 1,000 years. And there is the river, and in the river as it flows out from God's throne, you know, and the river flows. And there on the banks of the river are the trees of what? Of life. They're there. And to eat of the leaves, the fruit, little leaf, and you'll live forever. God, what have you done for us? I want you to know I have made it possible for you to have such a relationship to me. After all, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is only as good as I would make it. The trees by the river, in that great river coming from the throne in the millennium, it's only as good as I make it. And by the way, I am your great physician. And I want you to know, I am life. I want you to abide in that life. Thus closing, see it in that sense, John chapter 15. God, what are we going to do? Well, have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to you. And Israel had theirs, more or less. And we are privileged down the corridor of time here to have a relationship. And the tree of life makes eternal life, makes it all work. So we feed. They could have fed off the tree of life if they didn't sin, and they would have been offset. In the millennium, they're able to feed off the tree of life and live 1,000 years. God said, listen, And by the way, do you remember how many physicians, remember God had how many medical schools in the millennium? Do you remember how many medical schools he said were in the millennium? No. Do you remember how many physicians he had? He had all of them lined up. Do you remember that? No physicians. No medical school. Do you remember how Pfizer, is it Pfizer? Pfizer? Is that a medical company? Pfizer's a big thing in the millennium, you know. If you're going to invest, invest in the millennium in Pfizer. Can they really invent stuff? Are they going to be there? No, no, no pharmaceutical companies. No, no. Just God. Just God. God, what have we got? We have a unique relationship to you. I am the resurrection and the life. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe you'll never die? Don't you believe you have eternal life? Don't you believe I'm able to help you to the uttermost? Don't you believe that I can get you down the road? But you know so many problems. Well, God said, why don't you just listen to me and trust me? I know the things there. And you say, I would like to do this. But you know, do you know what? I held up Moses. I let Moses spend 40 years in Egypt to get old enough to mature. And then I put him to school. And I sent him for how many years? For 40 more years. And everything is going on. No one's helping anybody. And God, you wait. That's right. 40 more years. That's what I did. Time isn't a problem for me, said God. So whatever, if you're going to trust me, then you're going to trust me. And I'm not time isn't an issue for me. So don't tell me about time. Don't tell me about that. Tell me about exercising the wonderful relationship you have to me, which lasts forever. And exercise that relationship. And in the middle of time, in the middle of boredom and pain and heartache and headache, in the middle of it all, trust me. And exercise. But, no, just learn to do it. But how can I lay there? And you know, I know people, oh, dear people, had got paralyzed for years, different ones. Never, they were alert, couldn't move, didn't do anything. And yet they had a heart. You talked to them. Their heart was right. Trusted God. And God helped them. God was helping them. They didn't need to move. They didn't need to move. If they just trusted God, what do you need to move for? If you're resting in the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, why do you need to move? I got to go to the bathroom. No. I'm not talking about that. In your general existence, you don't need to move at all. Do you? What do you need to do? Nothing. You have life. When you lay in bed tonight, practice it. When you're laying still, lay as still as a stone. And lay there and say, God, I can't do anything. I'm not doing anything. That's right. And you have just as much life as if you were running up the hill. You don't have to do anything. You're learning to exercise life. And that life overflows to the rest of your body, to your heart, your mind, and your body, and God will do what he does. And you have that. You got your state where your stable platform, and all the storms of life bounce around you, but your platform just stays just like that, just like that, just like that. Everything's going around, but your heart is fixed, fixed, fixed on me. It doesn't go anywhere. Stable platform. Got it? That's what you do. Oh, there must be something else. No, no. No, not at all. No, that's just me. What's that kook saying up there? No, you understand? It's what God said. That's all God ever asked. Asked you to be still. And know what? That I'm gone. See? The branch abides in a tree that's full of life. And the bugs are on the branch, and everything's on the branch. But the branch doesn't care because its life comes from where? The tree. And the branch just stays attached, and the life-giving sap flows and gives the branch life in the winter and the spring, summer and fall. It gives us life. What are we supposed to do? Abide. Do you remember reading Abide? If you abide in me and my what? Words abide in you, just do it. That's all. No, no, it must be more than that. No, if you just do that, you'd be surprised how well it works. You see, I am Jehovah Rapha. I'm the one that heals. Israel, are you going to learn that? And here we are way down the corridor of time. Do we learn that of a God who is fully and wonderfully healthy? And he presents us blameless in his Son. True? He presents us perfect in his Son. Is that true? Does he present you perfect in his Son? That's pretty healthy if you ask me. Well, anyway, I'm sorry, I'm over. And we want to remember to pray for Bible school. And